The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host, Kara. Tonight's guest is Daniel Moeller. We're talking about shamanic Kabbalah. Don't know too much about it, so I'm pretty excited to learn. But first up here, we got some news. Kara, you got some news for us?
I do. Let's just run down the list of articles from this last week. So first off, a 4,400-year-old tomb opened in the Saqqara region south of Egypt has been described as one of a kind by relevant experts. The tomb belonged to a high-ranking priest known as Watia and has not been looted and contains paint that is still almost perfectly preserved after almost 5,000 years. The tomb has not been fully excavated yet. Archaeologists still hope to locate the sarcophagus of the priest and perhaps other, as yet unknown, treasures as well. The New York Times reported that the Chinese government may be extracting forced labor from Muslims in its notorious network of detention camps. Although China ostensibly has retired the practice of re-education through labor years ago, Muslim inmates are forced to renounce their religion and swear fealty to the Chinese Communist Party, and Chinese propaganda has portrayed the camps as, quote, putting detainees on production lines for their own good, offering an escape from poverty, backwardness, and the temptations of radical Islam. NBA star Stephen Curry stated he was joking when he made comments on a podcast called Winging It, suggesting humans never landed on the moon. He went on to say, for kids out there that hang on every word that we, celebrities, say, which is important, understand that you should not believe something just because somebody says it. Two nuclear-capable Tu-160 Russian bombers landed in Venezuela last Monday, heightening tensions between the U.S. and Russia at a time of arguably the most dismal U.S.-Russia relations since the Cold War. This move follows Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's visit to Moscow last week. Russia has been a longtime ally of Venezuela, which has been isolated from most other countries in the international community. And lastly, 3 days ago, The Atlantic reported that the demand for Catholic-style exorcisms is increasing in the United States, with several exorcists interviewed stating they believe demonic possession to be more common today than in years past. Gallup polls indicate roughly half of Americans believe demonic possession to be real, roughly the same percentage who believe that aliens have visited Earth, and considerably more than believe in Bigfoot or other cryptids. No UFO sightings reported in the mainstream press this week. Experts believe the mysterious alien beings who control the world economy and perform sinister experiments on paranoid schizophrenics to be, quote, taking some much-needed time off for the holidays. Back to you, Chauncey.
Well, it's good to know that everybody has the holidays, you know.
Yeah.
The war on Christmas isn't happening with the alien controllers.
It's a purely, you know, Earth-only phenomenon. In the intergalactic community, Christmas is going strong. Although I should point out that the relevant experts I quoted in that last section were myself just now.
Right. Yeah, I figured. You got to add some flair. You know, I was thinking about this as I was listening to the news headlines from the last week. And, I think it could easily be stated because we're a paranormal and conspiracy show that that it's maybe much more of a doomsday situation. But I get this feeling when I'm watching the news on a regular basis that there's a good couple few things that that really feel like the world could end at any minute.
Yeah, I think I get that impression, too. Yeah. I think, in a large part, the media encourages that impression to, you know, get more attention, which is, hey, another conspiracy. It's kind of conspiracies all the way down. But Yeah, I definitely get that impression, too, which is why I decided to jump in the bandwagon and talk about the nuclear-capable bombers in South America.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this world situation has really kind of gone from really sort of physical imperialism to an economic imperialism that I just really don't understand.
Well,
and so it's like you see these powers and you see, you know, Putin, and you don't really know what his agenda is. I mean, he's arguably the richest man in the world.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, what exactly is his agenda? You know, before we used to be able to tell ourselves that it was sort of safety from the West and spreading communism. But now that doesn't so much seem to be the case.
Well, as far as I understand it, although, of course, I don't know, Russia, for one thing, is actually an extremely small economy. Like, compared to, say, California, Russia is tiny. I think the economy of Russia is smaller than a couple other states as well.
So their only threat to us is outdated weapons?
Well, it doesn't matter too much if a nuclear bomb's outdated. It gets the trick done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, if we're putting all of our technology into stopping these things from coming, you know.
And, you know, all this stuff about the elections, there's only so much you can do about the Russian government paying call centers full of hackers and trolls. Like,
right.
You know, that's not very expensive,
yeah,
really. And it's a lot harder to combat than it is to do, right? Yeah.
Personally, from my paranormal conspiracy angle that I come mm-hmm. from, my biggest issue with this Trump-Russia collusion thing is that it's constantly being in a situation where we're setting aside what we do know.
Right.
And so I don't know what Trump did.
Constant speculation.
I don't know. Yeah. Trump might have done some stuff. He might not have done some stuff. But we do mm-hmm. know that Russia did some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that should be considered fairly separate from, like, the...
Well,
there's often, like, this knee-jerk reaction, oh, no, Russia didn't do anything. And it's like, dude, I'm not saying Trump did anything, but Russia obviously did something.
Right. The one thing Trump isn't doing that I would like him to be doing is get up there and tell us Russia did some stuff.
Right.
You know, because everybody else knows it. And it just, you know, makes me feel like he's so concerned with covering his own butt that he's not up there saying, like, listen, man, these people are putting up ads all over Facebook that you... But, you know, I mean...
To be fair, I don't really know what the benefit of that would be. Like, it might make people say, okay, good, the president's living in the same reality as us. But honestly, in, like, a relationship between country level, what even is the point of antagonizing Russia?
Well, I think the point is that when you have somebody like Steph Curry who says it and people believe that maybe we didn't land on the moon...
Yeah, well, that's true.
Hopefully the president saying that something is going on would put all the more stock into people that when they read things on Facebook, in the news, and social media, they realize that, you know, this might be...
That's a good point.
...against you, you know, and it's like... They're just so caught up in the fake news coming out of our own country, where we really need to be on defensive of other countries' intent, because I'm very confused as to what Russia's intent even is. Because
well, so Putin is kind of in charge of a number of, well, you call them oligarchs, basically.
Right.
Which are, basically, he's like a mob boss keeping all the little mob bosses in line.
Right.
And what they want is the ability to move their money around from country to country freely and buy and sell whatever they want without other countries seizing their stuff. That's what they want. They want economic security. So I feel like most of what Putin does is kind of focused around just maintaining the loyalty and economic security of really a handful of people, like 100 different people.
And working on some sweet high fives. All right, too. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're coming up on break here. When we come back, we're going to learn about shamanic Kabbalah from our guest, Daniel Moeller. Come on back.
We'll be right back. Season greetings. I'm Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veterans Service Officer and Army Veteran. The Veterans Service Office is grateful for our troops who make a courageous effort year-round. With your help, Americans continue to enjoy the liberties given to them so long ago. We thank you for your sacrifices. My staff and I would like to salute all active duty, their families, and local veterans. We wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Hello, my name is Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. I would like to invite you to take advantage of our winter special. We are offering 10% off all interior work scheduled during December and January. Some of the painting people do range from wall, woodwork, whole house painting, plus cabinet refinishing and staining. Please call us today at 400-5152 or visit our website, danscottpainting.com, and Facebook.
Join us at Turtle Bay Exploration Park for incredible inventions now through January 4th. Follow in the footsteps of famous inventors like the great Leonardo da Vinci and Archimedes through 50 interactive exhibits, great for all ages. Incredible Inventions is organized by Artisans of Florence and is presented by Five Star Bank in Redding Rancheria with support by Shasta Pathology Associates and Dutch Bros Coffee, the Reznor family. Incredible Inventions is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Tuesday, from the new studios of KCNR, Community Talk Radio for the North State, we welcome Turtle Bay Exploration Park with an update on new exhibits and programs for the holiday season. Also, let's include our furry friends in the festivities or maybe add a new pet to the household. Haven Humane will be here to give advice on the best way to keep that new family member happy and healthy. Locally owned, community connected. KCNR Free Fire Radio. Miss a day? Miss a lot.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Daniel Moeller as we talk about shamanic Kabbalah. Daniel, do we have you there with us?
Yep, here. How you doing?
Good. Am I saying your last name correctly, Moeller?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
All right, just making sure. So, I'm coming into this one blind. I tried to research shamanism a little bit, and it is a massive topic. And then Kabbalah, of course, is a massive topic that spans literally centuries and thousands of years. Yeah. So I'm not really sure what the angle is that we're coming in on this. So maybe we can get started here with you telling us a little bit about yourself, and then I'll follow that up with finding out exactly what shamanic Kabbalah is.
Sure. I'm just a family guy from the Midwest, really. But my professional background is much different than my spiritual background. I taught college for a few years, and now I just work in the professional world as a technical consultant. But at night, I've been practicing the shamanic arts for quite some time, quite a few decades, actually. And back in 2011, I was sanctioned to be a teacher in a shamanic lineage that has Peruvian roots. By Curandero Don Oscar Miro Casada, and I've been teaching shamanic apprenticeships ever since then. And through the, teaching those shamanic apprenticeships, I also, in my spiritual background, have Judaic leanings. There is a little bit of Jewish in my heritage on my mother's side. And I've always been interested in the Kabbalah from that standpoint. As I began to dive deeper into my own shamanic work and learning about Kabbalah, I started finding very strong correlations between the two. And that eventually, over time, became what is my book, Shamanic Kabbalah. I figured, why not just slap the two together?
I see. So maybe we can split this up for myself and our audience to sort of help get a better understanding. Can you tell us what shamanism really is? Because it seems like a word that really pertains to a lot of different cultures throughout history. Can you tell us what shamanism really is?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, shamanism is an ancient technique of being able to interact with the world of other, the world of spirit. The word shaman comes actually from a word from Siberia, from the indigenous peoples of Siberia, the Evenki, called saman, which is one who is excited, moved, or raised, and also one who is to know. And so normally they were the masters of ecstasy, stretching all the way back to Paleolithic times, being the sort of doctors of the community, those members of the community that were never really part of the normal intercommunal practices and happenings, but were always kind of on the outside and interacted with the natural world as sort of an intermediary between the human realm and the transcendental realm. And so people have always come to shamans for healing, and they have always been on the forefront of pushing the culture on the threshold of art and music and other ecstatic states. So that's one of the primary means of what separates a shamanic practitioner from, say, that of a priest, is that the shamanic practitioner will just directly engage with the unseen realms, the spirit realm, through ecstatic states, whether that is through some sort of trance induced by music, usually through drumming or rattling. Sometimes incense is used, and also the imbibing of psychedelic plants. And so they will go into that spiritual state of ecstasy, into those other realms to receive information, to come back to assist people in need and to have that information to give to clients the help better the community.
I see. And so with my research into Kabbalah a little bit here, you know, I do see some parallels already from what you're saying. But for me and the audience, maybe you can give us a rundown on what Kabbalah is.
Sure. So Kabbalah really traditionally is a Judaic mystical system, but there are some who would say that it even stretches way far back, even before Judaic roots. Some say that it is the mystery traditions that stem from the mystery schools of Egypt. And if you're a believer in Atlantis, some say even as far back as that. But really, we start to see Kabbalah come into fruition really around the 12th or 13th century, in practical historical terms, in southern France and Spain. And what it is, it's just a way to receive the essence of the divine. That's really what Kabbalah is. It means to receive. And the whole foundation of it is to explain the relationship between God and the mortal world. And one of the primary means in which Kabbalah does that is through the auspices of a symbol, or rather a composite symbol, called the Tree of Life. The symbol of the Tree of Life represents really a diagram or a map of the universe, or a map to God, but really what that is one and the same, a map to our own consciousness. And that's really the crux of the whole thing, is being able to get to know yourself in order to also get to know God.
I see. So both of these are really sort of based around the concept of communicating with the other side, or with the divine side. I'm not even really sure how to say it, but they both are very much about the rituals or the actions that are taken to connect.
Absolutely. And as I had begun my work in Kabbalah, I started noticing many correlations between Kabbalah and the shamanic arts that I practiced. And then even in other mystery traditions and spiritual traditions across the planet, I kind of went almost down a Joseph Campbell pathway, as in, you know, like a comparative mythology, seeing this single story throughout all of the religions and mythologies in our planet. I was finding those same kind of correlations and seeing that really all of these mystery traditions are one and the same. They're really about the human being finding a way to engage with the unseen, as you say, the other side, or there, you know, really there is no term. It's the ineffable. We come up with all of these definitions, and they may make sense, you know, for the day that we're saying them, to compartmentalize them into our minds, but that's really the whole point. It's the great mystery. We don't really truly know what that something else is, but there's something indeed there because we're drawn to it.
Now, you say you're from the Midwest, and I hate to be the stereotypical California guy, but when I think of the Midwest, I definitely don't think of shamanism or Kabbalah. Do you find that you get a lot of pushback there?
Oh, yeah. I definitely grew up a very weird child in my community, especially growing up in a small town. But what's very interesting, the primary area in which I live in Kansas City, people are often surprised by finding this little haven of alternative spirituality that exists within the Kansas City metro area, right in the heartland of the United States, surrounded by all of this conservatism. But then suddenly there's this mecca where all of these different alternative religions and spiritual paths and way of interacting with the world exist and interact quite frequently with one another, and it's actually a really great community.
So being that you are so centered in such a conservative part of the country, is I'd like to think that there's some sort of, like, interesting bleed-through between your belief systems and maybe some of the conservative belief systems, or is there definitely a wall there where, like, people just aren't interested?
No, there actually is a bleed-through. You'd be surprised. I've been in, you know, shamanic ceremonies where, you know, there's a fire raging and people are dancing around it like crazy hippies and drums going, and end up striking a conversation with a guy that voted for Bush and is very strict Republican and he's totally down with all of this. And, you know, and just, it really makes you have to step back and stop trying to, you know, in your own mind, polarize human beings and understand that we're all just, you know, people, consciousnesses trying to make this all work. And we all express ourselves in different ways, and that there are actually, quote unquote, conservative people out there that aren't really that bad. They're okay. They're just normal human beings trying to make it work themselves, you know?
Yeah, I definitely realize that in myself, that I'm a collection of beliefs. I am not necessarily so hardline one or the other or anything like that. I definitely do like to hear that people are finding a way to come together.
Yeah, it's really quite fun. And you, every once in a while, we'll engage in ceremony out in the wild, because we do that, you know, trying to interact with the natural world and to give thanks and offerings to the earth, because that's our primary goal, is that sacred reciprocity with the unseen realm. And we'll come across some random conservatives that will, you know, bypass us, you know, and, you know, they're just interested, and it just strikes a conversation. And even if it's just a little seed that's planted, it's just enough to show, hey, you know, we're not all crazy on our side either.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. All right. Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Daniel Moeller here on Radio Wasteland. We're talking about shamanic Kabbalah. Come on back and learn some more.
Your father's son, don't you a nigga feel? He was Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Season's greetings from the Reading Civic Auditorium. This is Nathan Parmalee, talent buyer for the Civic. We wish all our veterans and active duty servicemen and women a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Everyone at the Reading Civic Auditorium is grateful for your service to our country and extend our hopes for a peaceful and prosperous new year for you and your families. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you soon at the Civic.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
On December 20th, a favorite State of Jefferson holiday tradition returns to Reading's historic Cascade Theater with a Celtic Christmas. Tamashine Foley's heartwarming holiday frolic returns with all new stories, music, and dances that celebrate Irish culture and the giving spirit of Christmas. A Celtic Christmas, December 20th at 7:30. Tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking about shamanic Kabbalah with our guest, Daniel Moeller. Daniel, you know, in my research about Kabbalah, the interesting thing, I always look for the controversies. I'm a horror movie fan. I look for the evil stuff. The first thing that I'm going to hit is the controversy aspect of Kabbalah. And in there was one that some more fundamental Judeo and Christian beliefs are a little apprehensive towards it because they feel that it sort of potentially pushes through, instead of monotheism, sort of dualism or polytheism, because of all the, I guess, 10 aspects of God, or the idea that there is a good and an evil.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit of this to us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love horror movies too myself.
Okay.
But, Kabbalah is definitely not scary, even though when I first got into it, there were always those naysayers that were like, ooh, be careful with that stuff. Although it can be heavy, I think that where the break comes in is, although yes, it started out as a Judaic tradition, and there actually even some of the early Christians, took on remnants of Kabbalah, mystic qualities. But it was really the, Hermeticists in the Western Hermetic tradition, that came out of the Renaissance that really kind of took it. And from there, as we moved into kind of even the, late 19th, early 20th century, when magic really became a big deal, like the mystery schools, the fraternal organizations like the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is where Aleister Crowley came out of, the notorious Great Beast. The Tree of Life in Kabbalah was the primary system of initiation in these schools, which actually draws great interest to me. And the idea of that is that the Tree of Life is really a piece, a table of correspondence. Each sephirot on the Tree of Life, it's broken up into 10 spheres. And in traditional terms, it represents an emanation of God. It's represented by a God name, by a host of angels, and an archangel representing each one of those emanations, starting from the fount, from the very top, which is Keter, which is the crown of all creation, and then going down the 10 spheres down to Malkut, which is the kingdom. And that's where we live, here in the kingdom. That is the earthly realm. So that the important thing, though, to note about these 10 names of God and the 10 notions of God, and some of the, you know, magical schools have even gone so far as to apply pagan correspondences and planetary attributions to those 10 sephirots, those 10 spheres. But it's important to not take any of this literally. That's one thing I've always taught to my students is there's a difference between something that's real and something that's literal. And when you start taking things literally, that's when you begin to have a fundamentalist notion of what is right and what is wrong. And then you just start leading a path of polarity and dualism, and you become uncentered. So it's important to just note that all of whatever correspondences that are attributed to the Tree of Life, it's just an archetypal symbol that is something that we can access that provides wisdom teachings for every human being.
So the tree itself is an allegory. There's no actual tree. It's really to help us understand the process or understand the system.
Absolutely. It's just a way of us being able to interact with our own consciousness and with such an interface that it allows us to understand the way that the universe works. As above, so below. As below, so above. That's the great Hermetic maxim right there.
So in the case of, you know, you're coming at Kabbalah from this shamanic angle, do you consider it to be monotheistic or polytheistic?
Can I say both?
I don't know.
Both,
not without explaining
and not
it.
At the same time.
Yeah. Well, how so both?
From the shamanic perspective, and, you know, what's important to note about shamanism is every shamanic practitioner has their own understanding. Shamanism is not a religion. It's a technique. And it's a methodology that's just grown and evolved over time. But I think that what we're understanding, and I think especially modern interpretations of the Kabbalah are starting to come to this point, is that really everything is all one consciousness. And it expresses itself through many aspects. And that's exactly what the Tree of Life represents. Because the spheres on the Tree of Life are 10. And it's numerical. It starts with one. Everything starts with that one consciousness, that one origin point, whatever it is. And the point of Kabbalah is we'll never truly know what that is, but we get to know it through all of these different emanations that have sprung out of it. So God has many faces. What's God to me is not the same thing as what God is to, you know, someone growing up, you know, in the Australian outback. It's completely different paradigms, but it's just as real for me as it is real for them. But the important thing, again, is to not take it fundamentally, literally, to not think, okay, my interpretation is the only true interpretation, because that's really the way consciousness works. It works at both an objective and a subjective level.
Okay, well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what this shamanic method is. You know, if I had to just sort of gleam it off of what you were saying, it just sort of sounds like, you know, if I had to hit it from a root word thing. I mean, are you just doing drugs and meditating? I mean, what does it mean? You know, I figured I'd just put it out there. You know,
is that so bad, man?
No, absolutely.
But what it is really just finding a way to put yourself in an altered state of consciousness, whether that's drugs or not. It's about blocking yourself away from the mundane world. So in interacting with the Tree of Life, we use our shamanic techniques in such a way that we ensure that we've created a space that is a sacred space that is outside from our normal everyday world, so that it's untouched from it. And that whenever we move into that space from the outside world, we ensure that there's a clear separation. So a lot of the times in the way in which we do that is that for, you know, myself, I have a lodge space that is like a temple space that's separate from every other part of my home. And I only go into that space purely for ritual purposes. And then when I'm in that space, I find a way to induce a visionary state. Now, I'm a responsible husband and father, and I can't lead a life of just running around doing psychedelic drugs. But every human being has the potential to do this. We do it every night in our sleep. We naturally produce dimethyltryptamine with our pineal gland, which is the gland that induces all sorts of trance states of consciousness. It's the chemical that moves through our body during lucid states of dreaming. So we have ways of being able, through breath work, through, again, music and incense, to be able to heighten that dimethyltryptamine content, to put ourselves in a visionary state in order to interact with the various spheres, Sephiroth pathways, and symbol sets on the Tree of Life. Each one of those symbols and correspondences being kind of like a key that unlocks a door into different pieces of information that come to us from the unseen realm. So as you meditate upon the symbol and include that and ritualistically through rattling and drumming and the other shamanic techniques that I talked about, that information will unlock and move through from that unseen space from transcendental consciousness.
Okay, so this is always a part that I have a hard time understanding, and we don't have too long until the next break, but is this next realm that we're talking about, where the spheres are, is it, are there entities there, or is this just sort of like a web? I mean, what's a good way for a guy like me to understand what it is? I mean, are there entities there?
Sure. Well, there's entities there if your consciousness wants to allow that. The way that I understand the Tree of Life is that it represents various aspects of your own consciousness. Really, the only way for you to be able to get to know the universe is through you. It's not a separate thing that's out there that can be measured and put into a lab. So the Tree of Life, at the end of the day, even though it's been called a map of the universe, it's really a map to yourself. So whatever you interact with on the Tree of Life, you can certainly interact with entities if that's what you choose to do. There are many correspondences that attribute angels and other forces and beings to each of the Sephiroth and their paths on the tree, but it's really about what you want to interact with. And how you want to be able to understand yourself.
All right. Well, sorry, we're coming up on break here, Daniel. You're listening to Daniel Mueller here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The joy of the Lord, or the affliction of evil, the choice is ours. We choose what kind of life we will live. When we choose to live for God, our life will find its joy and peace in Jesus Christ. The alternative is allowing the chaos of the world to dictate the outcome of our everyday life. Now is the time to choose. I encourage you to choose life, joy, peace, and the eternal love of God. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, inviting you to join us for our Christmas holiday effort. We'll be providing holiday meals for our military families in need here in Northern California. You can help by dropping off non-perishable food items and gift cards at 2110 North Street, the museum office. Or make a donation of a prepackaged bag of groceries for our military families through Homeward Bound. We also encourage you to donate a toy to be distributed through Homeward Bound. We are also collecting non-perishable items to ship to troops overseas who are deployed this holiday season. So many ways we can help those who serve for us. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280, the office of the Northern California Veterans Museum. And Merry Christmas from all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Daniel Mueller. We're talking about shamanic Kabbalah. You know, Daniel, in for the past couple of years, you know, I didn't really research this topic until we were going to have you on the show. And then, of course, you know, I need to know what I'm talking about. But prior to that, I had two references to Kabbalah in my head. And frankly, one of them was Madonna, who apparently is like end of the Kabbalah. I don't know where I heard that, but I heard it at some point. And then the other was that I have this book called The Encyclopedia of Angels, including the Fallen Angels. And it's this big, big book with tons of angels. And I'm just all, well, I heard that the angels were only mentioned like four times in the Bible, four different angels. And so it references where they're all from, and tons of them were actually from the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a lot of other things going on in the Kabbalah.
Right. So the Kabbalah, the way it is manifested over time, is it's really come mostly through the auspices of the Zohar and the Sefer Yetzirah, which are books that are more of a commentary on the Torah, which is the, you know, original Old Testament of the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. So it's filled with all sorts of really yummy, good, mystical nonsense and different types of angels and classes of angels. And those angels are correlated to the various emanations or Sephiroth from the Tree of Life. And so, the Bible itself is just kind of a primer. It's a starter. There's all sorts of other mystical content out there that's been around for quite some time.
Yeah, well, one thing that always blows me away, speaking of around for quite some time, is how far back the connections of probably shamanism, although I know very little about that, but, Judeo-Christian belief systems all the way back to Epic of Gilgamesh. I mean, it just seems to be connected so far back.
There is. Shamanic practice, as far as we know, as I think I stated earlier, stretches as far back as the Paleolithic era. But we've seen some of the earliest, pieces that we know of are cave paintings, even in France, all the way back to 13,000 BC. There's a piece called The Sorcerer, which is a cave painting that blends the head of a deer with the body of a man, or a face of a man and a body of a bear, and just kind of showing the shape-shifting aspects of what a shaman was. But the correlations between all of these different traditions across the planet are very strong as well. You can look at ancient Peru to ancient Egypt, to other places in Europe, and see the sacred sites and how closely they're all tied together in their cosmology, their numerical systems. The way that their understanding of the universe was structured was all very, very similar. It all really comes from the same root, which is just a guy sitting under the stars some night, just understanding that the universe is bigger than his own little world. And that really is probably what the first shaman was just having that first semblance of a consciousness that's beyond what am I going to eat next?
Right, right, right. So the core of your belief system is definitely shamanic. And then Kabbalah is sort of something that...
it's a layer.
A layer, yeah, that you've sort of added in over time.
But it's sure. A layer of what I believe. I think that Kabbalah, for me, really is just, again, it's another tool set that I can use for an understanding of the universe. And there's never, even though I greatly appreciate the Kabbalah and I use it in my personal and spiritual work quite often, I never see the Tree of Life as the end-all, be-all diagram of all that is. There's definitely more out there and more to explore, and we'll never have a full grasp and understanding of the great unknown.
Now, being the horror movie guy that I warned you that I was earlier, is there anything that people should be worried about when they're dabbling in either shamanism or the Kabbalah? Is there anything scary out there?
There's nothing scary out there in as much as what's inside yourself. So one of the prime goals of shamanic work, Kabbalah, is called the Great Work, which is an integration of all parts of our fragmented selves. So we as human beings, we are all capable of great love and light and beauty, but we are all capable of great evil. And the reason why I love shamanism so much is that the first foray into initiation and your rites of passage and your training is that you must face your own darkness. And that is something that terrifies most people, and they do go running away screaming. And I think that that's where a lot of misunderstandings come in through things of like Kabbalah and shamanism. People just aren't ready to integrate their fragmented selves and to look in the mirror and see who you really are. And maybe some of the things that you don't want to face about yourself can be even more terrifying than, say, conjuring a demon from the seventh level of the infernals or whatever. Right. 'Cause that's really all that stuff is anyway. It's really us coming into expression in the universe.
I see. So is there a belief that there is an evil entity, the devil seems to be something that's sort of back and forth with a lot of beliefs. Is that a part of this belief?
So, in a sense, I mean, there is a reverse aspect to the goodness of the universe, or even the Tree of Life. If you see the Tree of Life as the higher world, there is also an inverse of the Tree of Life, like a reversed, upside down Tree of Life called the Klippot. And that is like the reverse attributes of all aspects of the Tree of Life. So every sphere has a virtue, whether it's hard work or kindness or love, and the Klippot are reverse pieces of those. So I see that rather than there being this, good guy upstairs that's running everything, and then this bad guy who's trying to thwart it all in the universe, that there's the center of all that is, of all consciousness, and then there's the aspect of consciousness that's constantly trying to pull away from that. And whether that's just for the sake of exploration or whether it's for purposes that are more evil in nature, that's for philosophers to decide. But I don't like to anthropomorphize it as some sort of like good guy, bad guy scenario. It's the universe trying to work itself out.
I see. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're here at the end of the interview. Can you tell our audience a little bit more where they can find out about you and where they can get a hand on a copy of your book?
Sure. Thank you. Well, you can find me at www.danielmoellerweb.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Daniel Moeller Webb. You can find my book, Amazon.com, Llewellyn.com, BarnesandNoble.com, the primary vendors that are carrying it. And I really appreciate your time. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
I did too.
Yeah,
very,
likewise.
Very enlightening, very interesting. And we hope to have you on again next time you got something going on.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. You've been listening to Daniel Moeller here on Radio Wasteland talking about shamanic Kabbalah.
Through my window today, could have tripped out easy, but I've changed my ways. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while, you're gonna be mine, I know it. We'll do it in style, 'cause I made my throne. Yes, I'll battle the rainbow.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their